content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from AAA Go Magazine and the Washington Post. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. North Carolina is a truly unique state, especially when it comes to traveling. In the course of a day, you can drive from the coast to the mountains, enjoying a wide variety of scenery along the way. Recently, writer Sandy Shock Massender discovered a slow-lane getaway in Burnsville, located in far western North Carolina. Her article appeared in the summer 2021 issue of AAA Go Magazine, and we're going to start with the editor's introduction to give you an idea of what this trip's all about. In the shadow of the highest peaks east of the Mississippi, the sweet mountain hamlet of Burnsville offers up a dramatic landscape with plenty of outdoor diversions in Yancey County, about 36 miles northeast from Asheville. The homey county oasis of about 1,900 residents charms with its old-fashioned main street, thriving art scene, and plethora of small-town attractions. We begin with Shop Local. At the heart of Burnsville is its verdant public square, where the bronze likeness of town namesake Captain Otway Burns, a privateer during the War of 1812 and state legislator, stands atop a granite pedestal at the center of the green. The two-acre space is a hive of activity during farmers' markets, which take place on a street just off the town square. The Mount Mitchell Crafts Fair, held August 6th and 7th this year, one of the region's oldest crafts events, is a huge draw with live music and hundreds of juried crafters selling their handmade goods. Jutting out from the town green is the historic Main Street with classic red brick storefronts that are home to mom-and-pop shops brimming with eclectic finds. In this art-minded town, you don't have to walk far to find lovely treasures with a local pedigree. Mountain Time on Main Street stocks a wide variety of keepsakes and home decor, and the neighboring Toe River Arts not only sells exquisite pieces from its gift shop, but also displays the works of community artisans from its gallery. At Fillmore, one of the newest retailers here, fill up on all-natural shampoos, soaps and cleansers sold by the ounce from self-serve pumps, and browse its curated selection of earth-friendly wares. A particular note are the wool dryer balls with panda, raccoon, or ladybug faces, among others. They're just too cute to pass up. And to be sure, if you have kids in tow, you're going to end up at Monkey Business Toy Shop. Enticing puzzles, games, and specialty toys make it fun space to look around and pick up a gift. There's a Wizard of Oz mural just outside at the corner, too, and it makes for a super backdrop if you want a family photo op. Then we have the Quilt Trail, large wooden squares painted in vivid hues and geometric patterns adorn many downtown buildings. They're all part of the North Carolina Quilt Trail, a network of hundreds of quilt blocks inspired by rural Appalachian quilt crafts. You'll see them on barns, businesses, and homes throughout the region, and finding these quilt blocks makes a fun scavenger hunt. The Burnsville Trail, one of nine separate routes, has the most quilt blocks in the smallest area. You can pick up a map with details and locations from the Burnsville Chamber of Commerce at 106 West Main Street. Be sure to see the most famous block downtown, the Burnsville Sundial, located on the Yancey Common Times Journal Building. It's hailed as the world's first quilt block sundial, so it's certainly worth a look. Then we have Dine and Drink. Grab a steamy latte or a slice of banana bread at Appalachian Java, a cozy spot, and a three-time winner of Best Western North Carolina. They also serve up a mean Southwest chicken quesadilla and signature orangeade made with cane syrup and fresh juice. For Southern fare, Pig and Grits is the place to chow down on crispy fried green tomatoes, slow-roasted meats, and hearty skillet breakfast. While over at Ye Olde Country Store, Amish specialty cheeses and deli sandwiches get star billing. The hot roast won't disappoint. Not long ago, Burnsville was a dry town, but you'd never know it today. The three-story brewery and tap room at Home Place Beer Company pours farm-to-pint lagers, IPAs, malty English brews, and more. Order pizza, wings, and other pub fare from the on-site restaurant, Hog Hollow, and enjoy it on the ample-covered decks or at picnic tables on the lawn. In the center of town, the Snapdragon is a snug space with a garage door that opens up to a pleasant garden patio across from the town square. Its bar, whose name is a nod to Captain Burns' ship, is a popular watering hole. Feast on specialties like the Thai Market ribs or the Blue Ridge Burger. Both go down well with a cold brew on tap, or if you dare, the signature Category 5 Hurricane. No further details are offered, by the way. Lace up your boots. Thanks to idyllic location, Burnsville is a hiker's dream. More than 100 miles of trails crisscross the mountainous terrain, and about a third of them reach above 6,000 feet in elevation, boasting matchless views of the Black Mountain Range and Pisgah National Forest. At Mount Mitchell State Park, the Mount Mitchell Trail is the granddaddy. It begins at Black Mountain Campground and is a tough 12-mile round-trip climb that ascends steadily to the 6,680-foot famed peak. If you're not conditioned for the long, arduous trek, no worries. You can drive to the upper lot of the state park and hoof it a short distance on a paved trail to the summit for 360-degree vistas from the observation deck. The views are glorious no matter how you get there. If guided hikes are more your thing, Snake Route Eco Tours offers leisurely 2-hour treks or longer half-day or custom journeys. Choose from themed walks like mushroom hunts or night walks in the moonlight. Most of the hikes are on unmapped trails led by naturalist and owner Tal Galton, whose passion is introducing guests to the wonders of the Blue Ridge Forest. We also have some starry skies to entertain you. The stars shine ever so brightly at the remote Bear Dark Sky Observatory at Malin Earth to Sky Park, about 10 miles from Burnsville. View the Milky Way, the rings of Saturn, and other amazing celestial sights in stunning clarity through the high-powered Newtonian telescope with a 34-inch mirror, the largest public telescope in the state. It's popular, so advance tickets are a must. Also not to be missed is the park's brand-new 60-seat planetarium that projects sky shows onto its dome screen for a truly out-of-this-world experience. Well, once you drive past Asheville and continue west through what we call the Gap, headed toward Tennessee, you're going to find yourself leaving the mountains of North Carolina and, of course, entering the mountain region of Tennessee, eastern Tennessee. While many people have claimed the mountains as their home, one in particular has become an international icon. Writer Christy Tolley's article, Blonde Ambition, takes us to visit mountain-born Tennessee legend Dolly Parton. Her article, published in the summer 2021 issue of AAA Go magazine, and as editors state, Ms. Parton is the timeless sunshine, inspiration, and common sense we all need right now. And here's the article. Born and raised in the small Tennessee mountain town of Locust Ridge, Dolly Parton was the fourth of 12 children. Her family endured financial hardships throughout her life. However, Dolly's determination to pursue a successful career in music never wavered. She packed her bags the night of her high school graduation and headed to Nashville the next morning. You'd be hard-pressed to find a pop icon more universally adored than Dolly Parton, and it's no wonder. Her ability to engage with and relate to people of all ages and walks of life is inspiring. She sold over 100 million albums worldwide, earned 50 Grammy Award nominations, 3 Emmy Award nominations, and 1 Tony Award nomination. In addition to her musical success, Dolly's big heart and strong faith have guided her to pursue other endeavors throughout her 6-decade career, including helping fund the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. This timeless actress, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and megastar shares a bit of her life and work with AAA Go. And it says, this issue of Go magazine celebrates what makes mountain towns so special. And so they asked Ms. Parton, what are some of your favorite aspects of mountain life? Her reply, I love being from the Smoky Mountains. They are just so beautiful no matter the time of year. And that's why we have so many people who want to come and visit the area to see the beauty God has put right outside our back door. But for me, growing up in the Smokies was all about family and friends who feel like family. It seems like, even now, everyone is so close in those small mountain towns, and I think it's because, especially when I was growing up, you really had to depend on each other to make it through. But that is what is so special, and what I remember so much, the relationships we all had. Even my little coat of many colors, which I wrote the song about, the song that really means the most to me, it all came about because one of our neighbors knew my mama could put those scraps of fabric to good use with all us kids around. Right now, I wish the world could realize how good it would be if we all could depend on each other to lift one another up when we need it most. Next question. Dollywood has been thriving for 35 years. What was it like to see it come to life? The best thing to do is follow your dreams no matter what anyone says, because you're only stopping yourself if you listen to any of that. I was very blessed in finding the right partners to really make Dollywood what it is today. But you know, I was nervous on that very first day in 1986. I remember waking up and looking out the windows of my tour bus just hoping someone was going to want to come. Remember when you were a kid and you had a little party and you were afraid that no one was going to show up? It was a lot like that. But then, when the cars started coming in, it gave me a lot of relief and great joy that people wanted to visit. I'm very thankful and grateful that the cars are still coming in. I try to make sure I keep everyone busy by giving them ideas whenever I have them. They do a great job adding things and keeping it all new. We've really turned Dollywood into a destination for families, and people are coming from all around the world to see what we've got going on. Next question. Your Imagination Library Children's Literacy Program celebrates 26 years this year. What compelled you to create the program? The Imagination Library came from a serious place in my heart. My dad and a lot of my relatives couldn't go to school when they were young because they had to work. My daddy couldn't read or write, and it always bothered me because I knew it bothered him. He was the smartest man I've ever known, and I can't imagine what he could have done had he known how to read or write. When I decided I wanted to start a charity, I knew I wanted to help kids develop a love for learning and literacy, so that is what we did. I made sure my daddy was there to help me get the program started. So the Imagination Library really is in honor of him. I'm so proud of how many kids we've been able to help through the years, and I know to put a smile on his face to know kids around the world are learning how to read because of him. We're always looking to expand the program because my number one goal is to get as many books in the hands of kids as we possibly can. The folks at the foundation are always working hard to find more ways to expand us into new communities where we aren't currently located. Next question. The pandemic created challenges I don't think any of us could ever have predicted. When you face challenges or difficult situations, what are some of your ways to turn them around? Well, the first thing I do when I face a difficult situation is pray and ask God to help me see the light of whatever is going on. I have to say that He has always been faithful to help me find the blessings in those moments. He has also given me a great gift in being able to take those moments and express them through any songwriting so that I can share those feelings with people. I hope that through what I've been able to write about over the years, I'm using the gift the way He wanted me to, and that is what I've been trying to do during this past year. It certainly has been a challenge, but I think God is wanting us to slow down and rely on Him to help us through what is going on. I've tried to do as much as I can during this time to help folks realize we're all in this together, and to make it out to the other side, we're all still going to have to be in it together. I know I'm just a little old me, but I'm trying to do my part, and I hope everyone else will, so we can experience the brighter days that are coming. Of all the places you've traveled, what was your favorite trip? And this is the final question. One of my favorite things has always been to get out in our little RV and just travel the country. I have my big bus tour, but my husband Carl and I have always had RVs because we love to get out and see the world when I have some downtime. We love traveling the back roads and seeing all the things you miss on the interstate. Some interesting information and observations from Miss Dolly Parton. I hope you enjoyed that part. Well, to round out our mountain travel on today's Armchair Traveler, we check out A Fall Guide to the Blue Ridge Parkway, which includes North Carolina and Virginia. Now, writer Anna Mazurek's article was published in the September 10, 2021 issue of the Washington Post. With more than 100 species of trees, the Blue Ridge Parkway is a prime spot for a fall getaway and leaf peeping. The 469-mile roadway passes through six mountain chains in the Appalachians in Virginia and North Carolina. Operated by the National Park Service, the parkway is a planned landscape, unlike most national park areas. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt initiated a plan for a park-to-park highway to connect Shenandoah National Park to Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Construction started September 11, 1935, and was completed in 1987. The parkway's 45-mile-per-hour top speed limit allows visitors to slow down to enjoy the scenery. There is a plethora of opportunities to get out of the car and hike the parkway's 369 miles of trails, along with places to bike, camp, and explore cultural sites. Due to efforts to preserve historical structures, including log cabins and railways, the scenic roadway is considered a museum of the American countryside. And we have several segments here. First is Best Time to Visit. We usually tell folks to expect peak leaf color in mid-October, says Amy Ney, communications coordinator for the Blue Ridge Parkway Association, the marketing partner for the parkway. She adds that multiple factors can affect the timing of the leaves changing. The parkway's elevation, which ranges from 670 feet to 6,053 feet, is one of the main indicators. Leaves start turning first at higher elevations and on the northern slopes, Ney says, so the lower elevations and drier southern slopes experience fall color change later. The amount of rainfall, daytime sunshine, and nighttime temperature also add to the equation, and fall storms can often blow the leaves right off the trees. She recommends that travelers visit a long section of the parkway with a variety of elevations. Any trail or overlook that has a long-range view will be great in fall because you can see foliage at different elevations and have a greater opportunity to see fall color in some level of progression. Elevation can change dramatically in just a few miles. From the lowest portion of the parkway at the James River in Virginia, the elevation increases nearly 3,300 feet over a 13-mile distance to Thunder Ridge. How to avoid crowds. During the pandemic, the Blue Ridge Parkway was extremely popular with 14 million visits in 2020, the highest number in the national park system. Weekdays and early in the day are both good options to avoid crowds, Ney says, but I also recommend looking for less busy places along the parkway, like Wigwam Falls near Montebello, Virginia. She also suggests starting a trail in an atypical location and downloading the Blue Ridge Parkway Association's free travel planner app. The app works offline for Android and iOS devices, and it provides a detailed list of attractions and services. Where to go? The parkway is divided into four regions, and all sites are labeled by numbered mileposts, starting near Waynesboro, Virginia, and ending in Cherokee, North Carolina, with limited entry and exit points. To assist with travel planning, the Blue Ridge Parkway Association website and free app offer a detailed guide of each of the four regions with interactive maps and include lodging information for nearby communities. Along the parkway, there are two lodges, Peaks of Otter Lodge and the Pisgah Inn, and several campgrounds. Two sections of the parkway are closed for construction near Roanoke and combined into one detour. The road is closed from milepost 112.2 to 115 and milepost 121.4 to 135.9. A list of all road and facility closures can be found at nps.gov/BLRI, as well as regulations about mask and occupancy limits for indoor spaces. Here are some of the most photogenic spots for fall foliage, organized by region from north to south. Now, the Ridge region, which is from milepost 0 through 106, Humpback Rocks, milepost 5.8 to 9.3. In the 1840s, a rock formation landmark guided wagons over the Howardsville Turnpike. This rock outcrop, known as Humpback Rocks, is a popular hike, and provides views of the Rockfish and Shenandoah valleys. To avoid crowds, consider starting your hike on the Appalachian Trail from the Humpback Rocks picnic area, that's at milepost 8.5, rather than at the busy Humpback Rocks trailhead, that's at milepost 6. At milepost 5.8, there's a visitor center and an outdoor farm museum with a late 19th century log cabin and outbuildings. Next is Yankee Horse Ridge at milepost 34.4. One of the lesser-known photography spots in the Ridge region is Yankee Horse Ridge, the site of the Irish Creek Railway, a logging railroad that operated from 1916 to 1939. Part of the narrow-gauge track has been reconstructed near the overlook of a small stream. A 0.2-mile trail leads to Wigwam Falls, one of the easiest waterfalls to access between Waynesboro and Roanoke. Although the waterfall is small, it's tucked into a hemlock forest and is extremely photogenic. Picnic tables and a large parking area make this a great rest stop. The next region is called the Plateau Region. We found this between milepost 106 and 217. Rocky Knob is at milepost 167 and runs to 174. Rocky Knob is one of the more rugged areas of the parkway, with four major hiking trails, ranging in difficulty from the strenuous 10.8-mile Rock Castle Gorge Trail to an easy 1-mile loop at the picnic area. The 4,800-acre area includes a campground and visitor center. Next is Mabry Mill at milepost 167. One of the most photographed spots on the parkway is Mabry Mill, built in 1908 by Ed Mabry, an entrepreneur who built and operated it for 25 years. The site overlooks a pond and includes a sawmill, wheelwright, and blacksmith shop, along with a two-story house. The best time to photograph the mill with the reflection in the pond is roughly an hour before sunset. Then we have the Highlands region. You'll find that between milepost 217 and 339. Within that region, the Lynn Cove Viaduct at milepost 304. The Lynn Cove Viaduct, an S-shaped elevated roadway that hugs the side of Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina, was one of the last sections of the parkway to be completed. The 1,243-foot-long viaduct was delayed for 20 years while officials struggled with how to build a road at 4,100 feet without damaging the environment. The structure is now designated as a National Civil Engineering Landmark. To reach the viaduct, which is best photographed in the morning, park in the lot at milepost 303.9, then follow the trail that parallels the outer edge of the guardrail to the start of the viaduct. For an elevated view, cross the road and climb the large rock where photographers will be probably will be gathered. Then we'll have the Linville Falls. You'll find that at milepost 316. The headwaters of the Linville River began at Grandfather Mountain and form the tiered Linville Falls, which plunges into Linville Gorge, known as the Grand Canyon of the Southern Appalachians. The two main hiking trails lead through a hemlock forest mixed with white pine, oak, hickory, and birch trees that cover the trails with a colorful blanket of leaves every October. There are 4 miles of trails. The best views of the falls are from the Chimney View and Plunge Basin overlooks. The Pisgah region is found between milepost 340 and 469, and within this region, Craigie Gardens and Pinnacle Trail, and that's milepost 364.6 and 364.2. This high-altitude portion of the parkway has two short but beautiful trails located a half mile apart. Due to the harsh environment, both trails are lined with twisted and gnarled trees. The 0.7-mile Craigie Pinnacle Trail leads to a panoramic 5,892-foot viewpoint, while the Craigie Gardens Trail leads through the forest from the visitor center to a picnic area with a short spur trail that offers views of the nearby town of Montreat and the Black Mountain Range. Even if the weather is clear at lower elevations, fog and clouds can obstruct views on both trails. And then we have the Mount Mitchell State Park, which we mentioned earlier, and you'll find this at milepost 355.4. It's towering at 6,684 feet. Mount Mitchell is the highest peak in North Carolina and the eastern United States. The mountain is located in a 1,855-acre North Carolina State Park and is accessible only from the parkway via a state highway. Visitors can hike or drive to the observation deck for 360-degree views. The expansive picnic area is at the top and is a wonderful lunch spot to socially distance. So, by the way, writer Anita Mazurek is based in Austin, Texas, and she has a website, travellikeanna.com, also on Instagram at Anna Mazurek Photo, And Mazurek is spelled M-A-Z-U-R-E-K. Anna Mazurek Photo, at Anna Mazurek Photo. So there you go. Some good stuff about North Carolina travel there and the Blue Ridge Parkway, which also includes Virginia. Well, in the remaining couple of minutes that we have, we're going to take a moment to take a snapshot visit to Helen, Georgia. Now, the writer is Deborah Pamplin. Her article appeared in the summer 2021 issue of AAA Go magazine. Located in the northeast corner of Georgia, the small town of Helen is big on tourism. Even with the population of just 582, it's the state's third most visited city, with the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Chattahoochee River, and Georgia's only German-style Bavarian village. It's no wonder the 2.1 square miles of Helen is so attention-getting. Now, the history here. Helen's beginnings offered a much different atmosphere than we see today. Incorporated in 1913, the town was primarily a logging location. After seeing a large decline in work, the small town chose to give itself a complete makeover. In 1969, Helen began its transformation with German-influenced buildings, storefronts, and cobblestone alleys. The word began to spread, and with each passing year, more and more tourists paid a visit to see the little Bavarian village. Alpine Helen now holds over 35 events annually. Helen's Oktoberfest is one of the nation's largest. And then we have shopping. With nearly 200 stores, there's something for everyone. One shop you don't want to miss is one completely unique to Helen, Fred's Famous Peanuts, started by Fred and Diane Jenkins nearly 40 years ago. They created recipes and developed all the homemade products that the store sells today. This includes 17 flavors of homemade jelly. Try the habanero flavor and give your taste buds a kick. They have jams, preserves, and pickles in a variety of interesting and uncommon flavors. Then we have food and drink. A trip to Georgia's version of the Alps wouldn't be complete without an authentic German meal from Hoffer's Bakery and Cafe. The Hoffer family has served up distinctive dishes in a real Bavarian conditore and a cafe since 1991. Try one of the specialties from the grill. Wiener Schnitzel, a lightly breaded pork cutlet pan-fried, or Zeigner Schnitzel, Wiener Schnitzel with a spicy green and red pepper sauce. They both sound good, don't they? Anyway, they offer imported German beer as well. If you're in the mood for steak, lasso some grub from the Cowboys and Angels restaurant and bar nearby. Try one of their many cuts of steak or sink your teeth into a Longhorn burger. Then we have outdoor things. And a Unicoi State Park and Lodge is over 1,000 acres and includes the 53-acre Unicoi Lake. You'll find accessible fishing docks, 12 miles of hiking, biking trails, zip lining, and swimming, as well as seasonal canoe, kayak, paddleboard, and paddle boat rentals. Near the state park is a half-mile paved walking trail that leads you to Anarubi Falls. It's a great place to picnic, and the Chattahoochee River is a prime location for tubing. Float downstream for a few hours, taking in the beauty that's all around you. Part of the journey leads you through the heart of town, and there are optional water slides along the way. Wow. By the way, if you want to know more information about any of the articles on AAA, they tell you just to go to AAA.com/go travel, and you'll find more information and tips on how to find out about these places when events happen and all that, and so you can plan a wonderful visit to either North or South Carolina or Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia, you name it. South's got it all, right? And certainly North Carolina has its share, as we've already explained. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. Thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments may be directed to 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.